Go with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3 again. Colossians chapter 3, I want to bring a message to you now from one line that really caught my attention. I'm telling you, this seriously caught my attention. It's at the end of verse 13. It says, even as Christ forgave you. Christ forgave you. Is there any way we could put a Selah right there and ponder that for a minute? Christ forgave you. That's our message today. That's the title of our message. Christ forgave you. That's the outline of our message today. Christ forgave you. Isn't that good? Did Christ forgive everybody? It doesn't say Christ forgave everybody. It says Christ forgave you. Christ forgave you. I have a wonderful message for you. I have a wonderful, wonderful message for you. Now, not everybody is a you. But if you are a you, then I have a wonderful message for you. Christ forgave you. Let's start this message by finding out who the yous are, okay? Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, Paul is going to tell the Ephesians here exactly who the Word of God is talking to when it says, you. Ephesians chapter 2, look with me at verse 1. It says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You dead. That was you. Now, I pray by God's grace, a you. I want to be a you. So when I say you, I'm talking to me too. But our wording today is you. Okay? You dead. That was you. Oh, the spiritual deadness. Man cannot understand spiritual deadness because all he can see is physical life. But oh, the spiritual deadness. Oh, the spiritual hardness. Oh, the spiritual coldness. That's something we can enter into. The spiritual coldness. That was you. That was me. That was you. When this word says that I was dead before God in trespasses and sins, by God's grace, I believe this word. By God's grace, He gets all the glory. He gets all the credit. He caused me. He made me in spite of me. Thank God. He made me believe His word concerning me. All of God's yous will. If you are a you, if you're one of God's yous, it'll be evidenced by this. You will believe what God says about you. You will. This is what He says about you in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. He said, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Your life has been full of nothing but trespasses and sins against God. That's so. I'll remind us one more time. I'm talking to me too. Your life has been full of nothing but trespasses and sins before God. Someone says, somebody will say, "Wait a minute now, huh? That's not true. No, that's not true. That doesn't describe me at all. That doesn't describe my life at all. My life has not been full of trespasses and sins against God." Quick question. So then we're calling God a liar? That's a trespass. That's a sin. Only those who are not yous will deny what God says about you. Really? Really? All of God's yous, whatever this word says about you, all of God's yous say amen. That's right. I believe. I believe what this word has to say about you, Gabe Stoniker. I agree with this word. I don't agree with my mind. I don't agree with my heart. I know my mind thinks I'm a pretty good person. I agree with Him. That perfectly, I'm telling you, I won't speak for you. I'll just speak for me. That perfectly describes my life before the Holy God. I'm just being honest. Verse 1 says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Let's ask this question to all of ourselves. Is that you? Is that you? Look at verse 11. "Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." That means God's people Israel consider Gentiles to be outcast, heathens. You have no right to the promises of God. Verse 12. "That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." This word says, in spite of what you believe about yourself, you've lived your life on this earth, in this flesh, without Christ. I'm talking about in this flesh. In this old man, a stranger from the covenant of promise. Alone, as I am, naturally, before God, having no hope, and without God in the world. And if God left you there, that's what you would still be, and that's where you would still be. Do you see you in that? Does that sound like you to you? Turn with me over to Romans 3. Romans 3, this word says that you are right now in the world, right now in our flesh, okay? This word says you are not righteous, okay? Look with me at verse 10, Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous. Are you kidding me? No. Not one. This word says you do not understand God. And I'm talking about this old man of the flesh, this old man that was born into this world and loves this world and craves this world and just eats up the sin of this world. You do not understand God. You do not seek God. All right, look at verse 11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. This word says you have gone out of the way. What is the way? Christ said, I'm the way. And this word says, you have gone out of the way. You are unprofitable. You are not good. Look with me at verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. Honestly, are you kidding me? No. Not one. Now, is that you? If that's you, then I have wonderful news for you. Christ forgave you. Every soul on this earth who fits the description of God's you, Christ forgave you. He forgave. He forgave you. What is forgiveness? What is really, what is forgiveness? Just listen to Webster's dictionary definition of it, okay? To forgive is to cease all feelings of resentment against an offender. Is that good news? To forgive is to grant relief from all payment of debt. Christ forgave you. In the death of his cross, why did Christ have to die? Why that bloody death on the cross? Why the beatings? Why the suffering? Why? You. Was I really as bad as he says I am? Look at the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what it took to forgive you. By the sacrifice of himself, he forgave you. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9, verse 11 says, "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, in his own body, in his own tabernacle, he came. And by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." That means an eternal payment for our sin. Eternal. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 11. "Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." He was made sin so that you could be made righteous. Righteous in him. Verse 15 says, "Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.' My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, not just from right now past, but the whole, was nailed to his cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for my soul." He forgave us. Who gets the glory in this? I didn't straighten up and fly right. He forgave me. He forgave us. Christ relieved all the debt and removed all the resentment. He forgave us by the one sacrifice of himself. He freely paid the debt for all the trespasses of all his people. And because of that, the Father said, "Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." They're forgiven. Christ forgave you. Christ forgave you. He did it. He did it. Christ forgave you fully, completely. He paid it all. He gave it all. If you have Christ, you have everything. Christ forgave you. Colossians 3:11 says, "Christ is all and in all." He is the one that everything hinges on. Christ forgave you. If you have Christ, you have everything. If you have forgiveness in him, you have everything in him. Without him, there's nothing. No forgiveness with God. But with him, in him, because of him, you have everything. Christ forgave you. He did it. It's all because of him. That's the point I want to stress. It's all because of him. He is the reason you have favor with God. All forgiveness, all favor, all blessing, all acceptance, every good and perfect gift, every grace, every mercy, everything. All of it is because of him. It's all because of him. while he was hanging there on the cross of our salvation, he cried, "Father, forgive them." Who was he talking about? Who was he referring to when he said them? He was referring to all of his ewes that the Father had placed in his hands, placed in his safekeeping. Did the Father hear his request and deliver his people from the resentment and the payment of sin and death and hell and eternal damnation? Did the Father hear his cry? Absolutely. How do we know? He raised him from the dead. He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well done. Well done. Everything that has been given to us pertaining to our salvation and our eternal life with God, all of it is because of Christ, the glorious Son. The glorious Son. It's all because of Him. Now turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. And while you're turning, I want to tell you a true story that I just recently heard. 1 John chapter 5. I believe this happened back in the 1950s. There was a man in England who, over the course of his lifetime, had accumulated a very vast art collection. He had bought artwork throughout his lifetime, and he accumulated a very, very valuable collection. He had a great fortune in artwork. And the man died, and his entire collection was going to be auctioned off. So on the day of the auction, people came from all over England and all over other countries there, because it was such a rare opportunity to purchase such valuable art. Just rare, rare pieces. So they started the auction with a painting that the man had of his son who was killed in World War II. First painting that came up for auction. The painting was not a very well done painting. It was not, it was slightly amateurish. It wasn't done by a well-known painter. The artist was actually not known at all. It was just a painting that the man had done of his son who died in World War II. And they started the auction on it, and nobody bid on it. It just wasn't much to look at. There wasn't any value in it. And all these high rollers, all these wealthy men and women, they just didn't bid on it. But there was a man there who came to the auction not to buy anything, because he didn't have any money. He didn't have any money to speak of. But this man came because he used to work for this art collector. He was a servant to this art collector, and he just wanted to see what would become of his employer's things. So he came to this auction. And when he saw that nobody was bidding on the painting of his son, he thought, "I loved him. I knew him. He was very dear to me. He was a kind man. He was a loving man. And I would love to have that piece of artwork hanging on my wall in my house." So it wasn't much at all. He didn't have much on him at all, but he bid all that he could. Very low bid, just a very, very low bid. But after a moment, the auctioneer realized no other bids are going to come in. So he cried, "Sold!" And the servant was just so thankful to have won it. He went up and he got his painting, and he went back to his seat, and he waited for the auction to continue. And as soon as the servant sat down in his chair, the auctioneer said, "This auction is over." According to the owner's decree, he said, "Whoever gets the painting of my son gets it all." Look at 1 John 5, verse 11. "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." It's not in me. It's not in you. It's not in the law. It's in His Son. Verse 12 says, "He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, forgave you. He forgave you. He did it. It was all because of Him. And because it was Him, it's done. It's over. This thing is over. It's accomplished. Let's give thanks to God for the Son of our forgiveness. All of you. I pray all of you. Me too. Let's all give thanks to God for the Son of our forgiveness.